الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام Elders Beloved brothers in Islam In the heavens and in the earth, every circumstance, every condition, every happening, every advancement, every decline is occurring on the decree of one Allah alone. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ From the heavens to the earth, the arranger and the decreer of every entity, every affair is one Allah alone. مُدَبِّر بِلَا مُعِين مُدَبِّر بِلَا مُشِير مُدَبِّر بِلَا وَزِير مُدَبِّر بِلَا مَثِيل مُدَبِّر بِلَا شَبِيه Allah is the arranger and the decreer of every affair and there is no advisor with Allah, there is no minister with Allah, there is no similitude with Allah, there is no assistant with Allah, there is no helper with Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهِ Allah alone is the ilah of the heavens And Allah alone is the ilah of the earth. And in carrying out His decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not faced with any obstacle whatsoever. There is no complainant whatsoever. There is no system or force contrary to that of the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت That which Allah wants to give, no one can withhold, and that which Allah wants to withhold, no one can give that. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ If Allah has to decide rahmat, mercy, ease, comfort for a nation, then there is no force, no government, no system, no army on this earth that can withhold the decision of Allah. And if Allah has to decide adversity, hardship, difficulty, persecution for a nation, then there is no system or force or government or economy on this earth that can change the decision of Allah. Everything that happens in the heavens and the earth, every leaf that moves, is moving on the decree, on the command of Allah. In the light of this, my respected brothers, if we look at the plight, at the difficulty, at the persecution, at the hardship that globally is facing the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where it seems that almost on a daily basis we are being bombarded with news of some new adversity, of some new hardship, of some new persecution, of some new loss of life, of some new calamity that has befallen a different part of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, so terrible is the situation that is facing this ummah that one feels that if the stones had eyes and if the mountains had eyes, they also would have started crying with the sight of the persecution and hardship that is befalling the ummah of the most beloved Nabi of Allah, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fact of the matter is that Allah Ta'ala declares unequivocally in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا, that Allah does not make zulm on anyone. Allah is pak, Allah is free of zulm or oppression of any kind. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ, but it is the people as a result of their actions that are oppressing themselves, that are drawing those negative decisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are bringing about these difficult circumstances that are facing us. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Hannan, Allah is Mannan, Allah is Dayan, Allah is Ghaffar, Allah is Wahhab, Allah is Razzaq. The 99 names of Allah Ta'ala, what we refer to as the Asma'ul Husna. Majority of these names, of the sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refer to the kindness, the compassion, the mercy, the rububiyat, the kibriyai, the jalal, the azmat, the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, ulama explain, they say in the 99 names, there is only one name that refers to Allah's intiqam, that it refers to Allah Ta'ala's azab and Allah exacting retribution. Al-Muntaqim. Otherwise, they say the other 98 names refer to Allah's mercy, Allah's rububiyat, Allah's kibriyai. Jabbar and Qahhar. These two names of Allah Ta'ala, the words Jabbar and Qahhar in the Arabic language don't have the same meaning as in the Urdu language, or what we tend to understand them in Urdu. Jabbar, ulama explain, yajbirul kaseer, that zat and that being that brings together something that is broken. It doesn't refer to Allah Ta'ala exacting retribution. Qahhar in Arabic has the meaning of ghalib, overpowering. In fact, this idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy is overpowering can clearly be understood where it comes in one riwayat that on a tablet that is attached to the arsh of Allah, Allah has written, "Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi," that my rahmat and my mercy is greater than my anger. Allah's zat is la mahdood. There is no limit to the greatness and the majesty of Allah. In fact, it cannot be comprehended by the finite and limited intellect of this human being. These 99 names are found in hadith, but even the names of Allah are limitless. One dua is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma inni as'aluk bi kulli ismin huwa lak. O Allah, I call out to you, I beseech you, I am asking from you, bi kulli ismin huwa lak, with every name that belongs to you. Just to digress a little bit, on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Bibi Aisha radiallahu anha that, O Aisha, there is one name of Allah that anyone who calls Allah Ta'ala out using this name of Allah, whatever dua they will make, if they are in a problem, in a plight, in a difficulty, and in this problem of theirs they have to turn to Allah and use this name of Allah, then whatever plight or difficulty they are in, it will be removed. And whatever they ask from Allah, Allah will grant. What we refer to as the Ism-e-Azam. So she said, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, what is that name of Allah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that, O Aisha, innahu la yambaghi laki an tu'allimak. O Aisha, it is not appropriate that I should teach you that name. Women generally, by nature, Allah has made them such, that when a request of theirs is rejected or turned down, they don't take it lying down. They are persistent by nature. So in keeping with that, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, again she asked that, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, what is that name of Allah, which if I will use any dua I will make, Allah will grant. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, O Aisha, it is not appropriate that I teach you this name. And then he explained why. Because he said, I fear that my ummah will use this name of Allah to ask Allah for dunya. Something that is so insignificant and so temporary, it is not worthy that such a great sifat and such a great name of Allah should be used to request for such a lowly and denigrated thing. But nevertheless, she persists in her request that, O Nabi of Allah, teach me that name. And then when she finds that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to relent to her request, she makes 2 rakat salah. And after making salah, she raises her hand. Allahumma inni ad'uka Allah. O Allah, I am calling out to you by your name, Allah. Allama Burusi rahmatullah alayhi in his tafsir, Ruhul Bayan, he mentions beautifully what kashish and what significance Allah has kept just in his name, Allah. He says, in any language, whether it is the Arabic language or any other language, if you take a word and remove any letter from it, then either the meaning changes completely or it becomes incomprehensible. Example, the Arabic word Jamil means beautiful. If you take out the Ya from the Jamil, it becomes Jamal, which means camel. So the meaning has changed completely. But he says, if you look at the name Allah, if you take out the Hamza or the Alif from the front, it becomes Lillah. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. He says, leave the Alif there or the Hamza. Take the first Lam out. It becomes Ilah. Wa huwa alladhi fi samai ilah wa fi al-ard ilah. Take the Alif out. And take the Lam out also. And it becomes Lahu. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta al-thara. Take the Alif out, the Lam out, and the other Lam out, and who is left? Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. So she says, Allahumma inni yad'uka Allah. O Allah, I make dua to you, I call out to you with your name Allah. Wa ad'uka ar-Rahman. Wa ad'uka al-Barr al-Rahim. Wa ad'uka bi asma'ika al-Husna kulliha ma 'alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam. An taghfira li wa tarhamani. When she makes this dua, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles at her and he says, O Aisha, that Ismi Azam of Allah which I referred to is found in this dua which you have just made. That, O Allah, I am calling out to you with your name Allah, with your name Rahman, Bar, Rahim, Beneficent, Merciful. And I am calling out to you with your Asma'i Husna, with your beautiful names, those which I know and those which I don't know. To forgive me and have mercy upon me. Coming back to that hadith we had mentioned of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, Allahumma inni as'aluk bikul ismin huwa lak. O Allah, I'm calling out to you with every name that is yours. Sammayta bihi nafsak, by which you have named yourself. O anzaltahu fi kitabik, or which you have revealed in your kitab. O allamtahu ahadam min khalqik. O Allah, I am making dua to you with every name that you have taught any of your creation. Aw ista'tharta bihi fi ilmi al-ghayb indak. O Allah, I am making dua to you with every name of yours which you have not informed anyone about, you have kept in your ilmi ghayb. So from this we can see clearly that Allah's names are not just the 99 Asma'i Husna. But Allah's names are limitless, like Allah's Zaat, Allah's greatness, Allah's Kibriyai, Allah's majesty is limitless. And amongst the names of Allah Ta'ala, majority are those that are pointing out to the mercy, the kindness, the shafqat of Allah. And the fact of the matter, my respected brothers, is that in relation to this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the mercy of Allah, the compassion of Allah, the kindness of Allah has been multiplied many, many times. Where Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wa inna hadhihi ummatum marhuma. This is that ummah, this is ummatum marhuma. That ummah that is engulfed with the mercy of Allah. This is that ummah which came last and yet will enter into Jannah first. Intizar, waiting. This is a form of azab. Someone gets to the airport, his flight is after 1 hour. He's happy, I don't have to wait much. But if he's told there's a delay and your flight is only going to leave after 6 or 7 hours, that 6 or 7 hours, he'll count the minutes, it becomes excruciating. Every minute becomes like an hour. Anything you are looking forward to, the period that you are waiting for that thing, that intizar, is a form of azab. That is why the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Pak said, my ummah came last, just before Qiyamah. And my ummah will enter into Jannah the first, so that the intizar and waiting of my ummah also will be the least. This is that ummah that came last. The Quran that was revealed to this ummah, in it the wrongs, the oppression, the injustices, and the transgressions of the nations of the past were mentioned. This is what the people of Nuh alayhi salam did, and this is what the people of Musa alayhi salam did, and this is what the people of Salih alayhi salam did, and this is what the people of Thamud, this is what the people of Ad did, and this is what Samud did, and this is what Qawm-e Saba did. All the various nations of the past, their wrongs and their shortcomings were revealed to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But because this ummah came last, the wrongs and the injustices that this ummah will carry out were not revealed to any of the ummahs that preceded it. And to such extent, Allah Ta'ala will make sattari, Allah will conceal the dignity and honor of this ummah. That on the day of judgment, it comes in one riwayat, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say to Allah Ta'ala that, O my Allah, ij'al hisaba ummati ilay. Let me take the hisab of my ummah. So Allah Ta'ala will say to him that, O my Nabi, why do you want to take the hisab of your ummah? He will say, O Allah, I don't want that the faults and the shortcomings of my ummah should be revealed to everyone else. So Allah Ta'ala will say to him that, O my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are going to take the hisab of your ummah, then their faults and their shortcomings will be revealed to you. I will take the hisab behind parda so that no one else will come to know of their shortcomings. Such an ummah, the virtues and distinctions of this ummah, long before its coming, already Nabi upon Nabi of Allah enumerated and counted out the special favors which Allah Ta'ala had reserved for this ummah. Where Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh mentions the riwayat where Adam alayhi salam, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, he says, Inna Allah Ta'ala a'ta ummata Muhammad arba' karamat ma a'taniha. Allah Ta'ala granted four special distinctions to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, was deprived of. Inna qubula tawbati kana bi Makkah wa ummat Muhammad ya'suna fi kulli makan fa yataqabbalu Allahu tawbatahum. He says, I made a mistake. Many, many years he cried before Allah Ta'ala. Finally, Allah Ta'ala made his pardon in Makkah. He says that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the four corners of the globe will sin. And yet Allah Ta'ala will accept their tawbah wherever they ask for it. He says, Inni kuntu fil jannah, falamma asait, ja'alani Allahu uryanan, wa ummatu Muhammad ya'asuna uratan fayulbisuhumullah. He says, I was in Jannat, I made a mistake, I was stripped of the clothing of Jannat. They had to cover themselves using the leaves of the trees of Jannat. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a naked state will sin and yet Allah will give them clothes to wear. Inni kuntu fil jannah falamma asait furriqa bayni wa bayna imrati. I was in Jannat, I made a mistake. Allah separated me from my wife. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sin again and again, yet Allah will not separate them from their wives. Inni kuntu fil jannah falamma asait akhrajani Allahu minha. He says, I was in Jannat, I made a mistake, Allah took me out of Jannat. وأمة محمد يعصون خارج الجنة فيدخلونها بالتوبة. And the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sin outside Jannat, and as a result of their tawbah, Allah will put them into Jannat. Jalilul Qadr, Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, for the Bani Israel, his people, Allah, in a resplendent fashion, showed the great status of this Ummah, where Allah Ta'ala for 40 years send down man and salwa from Jannat for them to eat. When the child would be born, as the child would grow, the clothing would grow with the child. There was no need for them to earn or to exert themselves to meet their worldly needs. Special intizam of Allah was made for them. So after having seen this, Musa alayhi salam addresses Allah. And his question is quite clearly comprehensible in the light of the manner in which Allah Ta'ala had blessed his ummah. He says, هَلْ مِنَ الْأُمَمْ أَفْضَلُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي ظَلَّلْتَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْغَمَامِ وَأَنْزَلْتَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. O my Allah, tell me, for the Bani Israel, you gave them cloud cover. As the sun would move, they would be shaded with the clouds. You send down man and salwa from Jannat for them. So tell me, is there an ummah more virtuous, more honorable in your eyes than this ummah? Allah Ta'ala says to him, O Musa, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ فَضْلَ أُمَّةِ أَحْمَدْ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأُمَمِ كَفَضْلِي عَلَى خَلْقِي. Instead of literally translating this, understand it by way of expression, the extent of the emphasis of the dignity and honor of this ummah that is found in this expression. Where if someone asks, can you compare Allah with the makhluk? Can you compare the khaliq with the makhluk? Any person, if even limited intellect, will say there is no grounds for comparison. It is foolish to even attempt such a thing. In exactly the same way, Allah Ta'ala is saying to Musa alayhi salam, like my greatness can never ever be compared with my creation. In the same way, the greatness of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they can never ever be compared with any other ummah. There is no grounds for comparison. This is that ummah. Look at the Quran. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادُ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. Verse upon verse, help of Allah for this ummah, dignity from Allah for this ummah, hayatan tayyiba for this ummah, barakat and blessings of the heavens and the earth for this ummah, dignity and honor for this ummah, acceptance of du'as specially reserved for this ummah. Turn to the pages of hadith. Nusirtu bir ra'b masirata shahr. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my sahaba, the mafhum of the hadith, stones tied to the stomach, days upon days of hunger, no food in the house, yet enemies or those against them, armed to the teeth, everything at their disposal, yet from 1 month's journey away from my sahaba, already their hearts were filled with fear of my sahaba. Look at the glowing annals of the history of this ummah. By the time the khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, barely between 2 and 12 years after the demise of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam had already spread to 2,400,000 square miles. By the time the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu had come, 2/3 of the world was under Islam. And then, my respected brothers, turn your eyes away from the pages of Quran, away from the pages of the books of Hadith, away from the glowing annals of the history of this Ummah, and look at the pitiable, miserable, humiliating picture that this Ummah today presents, where it has become a living embodiment of the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, "Yushiku al-umam an tada'a alaykum kama tada'a al-akilatu ila qas'atiha." He said, "A time will come." An analogy is being given. Analogy of a plate of food. Why a plate of food? Because a plate of food or a tray of food, someone is eating it, he can pick up whatever morsel he wants, chew that morsel, swallow it or spit it out. That food is not going to offer any defense. He said, "A time will come when the enemies of my ummah will plan and plot the downfall and the destruction of my ummah, and will invite one another in the manner that invitation is given to a plate of food." Sahaba could not comprehend such a situation ever arising. وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, tell us, will we number so few? They had in front of them the promises of Allah in the Quran. They had in front of them the Basharat and the glad tidings of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hadith. And yet, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this ummah will degenerate to such a level. He said, "Bal antum yawma idhin kathir, walakinnakum guthaun ka guthai sail. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَحَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ." The promises of Allah are haq. The words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are haq. The seven heavens and the seven earths can come to an end, but not one word of lie ever passed the Mubarak lips of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have to understand, my respected brothers, that these promises are mashroot. They are conditions linked and attached to the promises of Allah. This dunya is darul imtihan. It is a place of test. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah says, "What do you think? That you are going to say آمَنَّا. You are going to say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And you are not going to be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, "We tested the nations of the past also. Trials and tribulations, hardship and persecution were the lot of the nations of the past also. And what was the object? What was the motivation behind these tests? فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah came to know who are the truthful ones, and Allah came to know who are the liars. This Allah coming to know, that is the literal translation. Allah's Zat, Allah's being is such, لا يَحْوِيهِ مَكَان لا يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَيْهِ زَمَان. Allah is not confined to space, form or direction or shape. Allah is not confined to the constraints of time, There is no past tense, present tense, and future tense with Allah. Everything at one time is equal to Allah. Allah in His ilm-e azali, in His eternal knowledge, already knows. What does it mean when Allah says, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ? Not that Allah will come to know, but that such trials and tribulations will come. The circumstances will become such that the good will be sifted out from the bad. The truthful will be sifted out from the liars. It will become apparent for everyone to come to know الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, who are truthful. Truthful in what? In this declaration, آمَنَّا. Ulama explained, kalima-e tawheed apne marzi ke salab hone ka iqrar hai. That this is not verbal lip, this is not lip service, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But this is ahad. This is a covenant. This is an oath with Allah. That, oh my Allah, from now, till I die, till my last breath in this world, I am prepared to negate what my eyes are seeing, and what my ears are hearing, and what my logic and my understanding is saying to me. I am prepared to negate what the media is saying. I am prepared to negate what society is trying to indoctrinate me with. I am prepared to negate everything and accept only that which comes from you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Iman. And Allah Ta'ala says, you will be tested. These verses are not referring to the kuffar. Allah is addressing the believers. And through these tests, it will become apparent who is truthful amongst the believers. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and who are the liars. To say I am Ashik Rasul, to say I am the Ghulam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give verbal lip service to this is easy. But that zamana is coming, and it has already come, where, my respected brothers, Allah protect us, but that time has already come where it will become apparent who is truthful in this and who are the liars. And what is the margin of allowance? To what extent will Allah tolerate that you shift away from the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To what extent is room given for your logic? This Allah Ta'ala unequivocally in the Quran answers, where Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Many places in the Quran Allah takes oath. والعصر والفجر والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين والشمس وضحاها والضحى والليل إذا سجى. Many places and a lot of things Allah Ta'ala takes oath on the rising sun, on the night, on time, on the breaking dawn, on the fig, on the olive. Allah is such, in Allah's kalam, لا ريب فيه, there is no doubt. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. There is no one more truthful than Allah. Human beings feel the need to take oath or qasam. Sometimes a person is a habitual liar, and he knows that you know that, and he wants you to believe that this time he's speaking the truth, so he takes an oath. Or he wants to emphasize what he is saying. Allah is free of such things. Allah doesn't need to take an oath to affirm the truth of what He is saying, because already what Allah Ta'ala is saying is the truth. This is Allah's shafqat. This is Allah's compassion and kindness. In order to make you understand the importance of something, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath. But in this verse of the Quran, Allah does not take the oath of the rising sun. or the moon or the stars or the fig or the olive. Here Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ وَاللَّهُ Allah's qasam. It is impossible in any language to do justice to the emphasis, to the extent of emphasis that is contained in this expression, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Where Allah Ta'ala says, not by the moon or the stars or the rising sun, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ, by my qasam, by the qasam of your Rabb, by the qasam of Allah Himself, Allah takes oath on Himself, by my qasam, whether it is the camel age, whether it is the space age, whether it is the rocket age, whether it is your dressing, whether it is your home, whether it is your business, whether it is your conduct with your family and your wife, and your children, whether it is your day, whether it is your night, until and unless you are not prepared to say no to what your eyes are seeing, no to what your ears are hearing, no to what your heart and your logic and your mind is saying to you, no to society and no to every ghair of Allah, until and unless you are prepared to negate everything and place your hand 100% Kamil in the hands of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in your dressing, in your conduct, in your day, in your night, what is akhlaq, what is insaniyat, what is business dealings, what is the manner in which to carry out your nikah, what is the manner in which to carry out your gatherings, what is your day, what is your night, until and unless you are prepared to defy every other way of life and come onto the way of life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you are in America, whether you are in Australia, whether you are in Europe, whether you are in Asia, whether you are in Africa, in whichever century you reside, right up till Qiyamah, say no to everything else and ameen to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until and unless you do not do that, la yuminun, by my qasam, you do not have iman. By the qasam of your Rabb, you do not have iman until you do not consider superior the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over every other ideology, over every other system, over every other call, over every other invitation, over every other way of life of anyone else in any era. Trials and tribulations will occur. This is the recipe for this ummah till qiyamah. And the object and the motivation behind this, it will become apparent who are truthful and who are the liars. What is the condition of the ummah today? How much have we identified with the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Such a Nabi. Normally, if you look at the annals of history, place is given to mention of conquerors, to rulers, to kings. Very little recognition is given to an orphan. Yet miraculously, born in a desert, an orphan, in the most backward country in its time, whose father predeceases him, yet every aspect of his existence is recorded. So that no excuse remains. Time of the birth, approximately 4 o'clock in the morning. According to the solar calendar, 22nd of April 571. According to the lunar calendar, one called 8th Rabiul Awal, one called 12th Rabiul Awal. Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, the year Abraha, tried to attack Baytullah 5 or 6 months after that. Father's name Abdullah, mother's name Amina, midwife who assisted in his birth, Shifa, the mother of Abdurrahman bin Auf, foster mother Halima. That also, not a coincidence. Ulama explained, father's name Abdullah, His inception occurred in the oven of Abdiyat. Mother's name Amina. He was nourished in the womb of Aman and peace. Midwife Shifa. That personality who was going to cure the maladies of insaniyat had been born. And foster mother Halima. He drank milk from the breast of Hilm and Akhlaq. Period of life, 22,330 days. Period of Nubuwat, 8,156 days. The greatest conqueror in the annals of human history, Genghis Khan, it is not even known when he was born, when he died, or where he is buried. Yet this orphan in a desert, every aspect of his existence recorded. Such martaba, such status, there's no time. But just briefly, sections of the riwayat, in Mi'raj, he addresses Allah Ta'ala, أَلَنْتَ لِدَاوُودَ الْحَدِيدِ وَأَحْيَيْتَ لِعِيسَ الْمَوْتَى وَسَخَّرْتَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ الْرِيَاحَ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَلَّمْتَ لِمُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. O my Allah, you softened lead for Dawood alayhi salam. You subjugated the winds and shayateen for Sulaiman alayhi salam. You brought the dead to life for Isa alayhi salam. You spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam, and he enumerated various other distinctions of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. فَمَاذَا جَعَلْتَ لِي O my Allah, what have you kept for me? أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَعْطَيْتُكَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ Have I not given you better than all this? أَمَّا أَنْتَ فَحَبِيبُ اللَّهِ You are the beloved of Allah. وَاللَّا ذُكِرْتْ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي And from now till Qiyamah, my name will not be taken except that your name will be taken with my name. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكْ We raised your dhikr, we raised your mention. Hassan bin Thabit, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. On this Allah ذُكِرْتْ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي He says, أَغَرَّ عَلَيْهِ لِلنُّبُوَّةِ خَاتَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَشْهُودُ يَلُوحُ وَيُشْهِدُ وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ إِسْمَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَى إِسْمِهِ إِذَا قَالَ فِي الْخَمْسِ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَشْهَدُ وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ فَذُو الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودُ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ He says, a seal of Nubuwat glittered on his back as a shining testimony from Allah. And Allah Ta'ala joined his name with the name of his Nabi, attested to by the Muazzin five times every day. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And with that, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allah broke a portion of his name off for the name of his Nabi. So in order to honor him, liyujillahu, fadul arshi mahmudu, so that the owner of the arsh is Mahmud. And he is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala mentions, Allah dhukirt illa dhukirt ma'i fil adhan wal iqama wal tashahud wa yawm al jumu'ati ala al manabir wa yawm al eid wa yawm al fitr wa yawm al adha wa yawm arafa wa yawm al tashriq wa inda al jimar wa bayna al safa wal marwa wa fi khutbati al nikah wa fi mashariq al ard wa magharibiha. Allah says, my name will not be taken except that the name of my Nabi will be taken with my name. The names will not be separated, not in azan, not in iqamat, not in tashahud, not on the day of Jumu'ah on the mimbars of the entire world, not on the day of Eid al-Fitr, not on the day of Eid al-Adha, not on the day of Arafat, not on the ayam al-Tashriq, not by the Jamara, not between Safa and Marwa, not in the khutbah of nikahs of the entire ummah, and not in the east or the west of the entire globe. Such a Nabi. And yet, my respected brothers, what identity does the ummah have to the life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Some pop star, or some musician, or some football player, people whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina. If he cuts his hair in a strange fashion, some of it is short and some of it is long so that he looks like a hippie. Or he cuts his jeans in some strange way. Then like blind sheep, Hundreds and thousands of our youngsters will imitate those who are the very moral dredges of society. Yet ask the youth of this ummah, what was the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What were the names of his wives? What were the names of his children? Leave the youth. Our hair is gone white. 30, 40 years have already passed. Was there a single day that this father had the tawfiq of sitting with his wife and children and saying, let us see how my Nabi used to eat, or how my Nabi used to sleep, or what was the home of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The value and the importance and the love for the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come out of the ummah, because this ummah has drifted so far away from its object. The first five verses of Iqra come down. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed that he is the Nabi of Allah. Thereafter a period passes. 6 months up to 2 years. What is called Fatrat-e Wahi. Ulama say this was a very trying and a difficult period in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had been informed that he was the Nabi of Allah, and now no further revelation. He felt that perhaps he may have displeased Allah in some way. Then Jibreel is sent with two surahs of the Quran, Surah Muzammil and Surah Muddathir. Allah had informed him, you are my Nabi. Now that you are my Nabi, what must you do? What is your day? What is your night? What is your maqsad? What is your object? And through him the entire ummah till qiyamah. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahhir, wa rujza fahjur, wa la tamnun tastakthir, wa li rabbika fasbir. O my Nabi, who covers himself in a cloth, Allah lovingly addresses him. Qum, stand up now. What must you do? Fa'andhir, warn them, invite them, call them. How must you warn them? How must you invite them? How must you call them? Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Go from person to person. Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. For you in the day is a swim in the sea of humanity. Person to person, town to town, village to village, gully to gully, alley to alley, ten to ten. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Tell them of the greatness of Allah. Tell them of the kibriyai of Allah. Tell them of the jalal of Allah. Link one person to Allah. Wa thiyabaka fatahir. Wa rujza fahjur. Denounce every form of partnership with Allah. Remove the greatness, the allegiance, the entity, or the allegiance of every entity besides Allah from the heart. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. And in calling humanity towards Allah, and in making this effort of linking one person with Allah, do not put your gaze on the makhluk. Look towards the treasures of Allah. Circumstances will turn against you. Opposition will be found. You will be persecuted. When this happens, وَلِ رَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. For the sake of Allah, make sabr. The day of this ummah is described. The night of this of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described. And through him the ummah is made to understand. What is that mole? What is that task? What is that mission? What is that day? What is that night that Allah Ta'ala wants from each and every one of us right up till Qiyamah? When this ummah will turn its back on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will move away from his day, move away from his night. Abu Dawud Sharif riwayat, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالزَّرَعِ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقْرِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ أي إِلَى جُهْدِ دِينِكُمْ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, when involvement in business, in agriculture, in worldly enterprise will become the primary occupation of my ummah, and they will no longer strive for deen. Such a Nabi we had in front of us, such akhlaq, such character, such generosity, My respected brothers, it is very easy to sit back and blame the media and blame the enemies of Islam that they have adulterated the image of Islam and Muslims. To blame others is easy. How much have our lives identified with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much have our lives identified with his generosity, with his akhlaq, with his character, with his compassion and cry and pain for humanity? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu describes, he says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ajwad an-nas bil khair. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous of people. He says, ajwad min ar-rih al-mursala, more generous than a blowing wind. On one occasion, somebody brought 30,000 gold coins. It was placed on a straw mat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started distributing and distributing and distributing, until eventually, in a short while, everything was given. He kept nothing for himself. One person came, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him. He said, Ma indi shay, walakin ibta alayya faida jaana shayun qadaynahu. Nothing is left but going to the bazaar and on my name purchase anything you want and say to them that I will pay the debt. Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes upset. He says, Ma kallafakallah ma la taqdir, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has not commanded you with that which is beyond your ability. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this admonition of Umar, becomes upset. One Ansari is there, says, Ya Rasulullah, anfiq wa la taqsha min dhil arshi ikhlala. Spend, spend, and do not fear any shortage from the owner of the arsh. فَضَحِكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى عُرِفَ الْبِشْرُ فِي وَجْهِ. When he hears this, he smiles until the happiness could be seen on his face. And he says, بِهَذَا أُمِرْتُ. This is what my Allah has commanded me with. If even an iota of this generosity we as an ummah exhibited today, then my respected brothers, regardless of the media, and regardless of false propaganda, is it possible that the hearts around us could be filled with enmity and hatred? Our Nabi was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a rahmat, a mercy to the entire alam, not only to the Arabs, to the last person to come before Qiyamah. This legacy of rahmat, of mercy, of compassion had to transcend the boundaries of race, creed, color or nationality, and that of time. And through this ummah had to remain alive right up till Qiyamah, so that each ummati became a rahmat and a mercy to humanity, as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. When our gaze and our concern and our day and our night belied his day, belied his night, belied his fikr, belied his concern, and instead of the Jannat and Jahannam of humanity warring us and making our hearts cry, our gaze shifted to the pockets of those around us, then we became, Allah protect us, Allah forgive us, but walk in the society, walk in the bazaar, that unfortunate person whose circumstances are such that financially he has to work for a Muslim, in so many instances, that now becomes a license for that ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for that person who claims that he has as his role model Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to swear at that person, to insult that person, to swear his mother and his father, and to swear his children, and if he is in his domestic employ, to pay him a pittance. Is that the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is that his conduct? Was that his concern? Was that his message to humanity? This is that Nabi. One day, he is drinking some water. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiq, the head of the Munafiqeen. The munafiqeen was that jamaat that outwardly would display iman and their hearts were full with nifaq. Allah says concerning them, innal munafiqeen fi ad-darkil asfali min an-nar, they will be in the lowest level of jahannam. So much of takleef they had caused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The son of the head of the munafiqeen, his name was also Abdullah. He was a true sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drinking water. He says, oh my beloved Nabi, leave some water in that container. I want to take it to my father and give him to drink also, so that perhaps through the barakat of your water, Allah will purify his heart. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gladly gives the water. Abdullah goes to his father and he presents this water. His father says to him that what is this water? He says, this is the Mubarak leftover water of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-iyazu billah, thumma al-iyazu billah. This munafiq says that if you had brought the urine of your mother, I would have valued it more than this water. Abdullah is incensed. He takes his sword out. He goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, oh my Nabi, my father has insulted you in this way. Give me permission, I will behead him now. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, no. Bal tuhsin ilay wa tarfuq bihi. Go back to your father now and exhibit kindness and compassion to him. This was the example of akhlaq, of character, of concern, of pain for humanity that this ummah was given. Such a Nabi, when this enemy, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Quran had already been revealed, istaghfir lahum, o la tastaghfir lahum, in tastaghfir lahum, sab'eena marrah, layaghfir allahu lahum, make his janaza namaz, ask for forgiveness for him, or don't ask, if you ask 70 times also, we are never going to forgive them. When his body is put in the ground, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes there, he says, take his body out. After his body is removed, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes his own kurta and he makes it part of the kafan of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Then he makes thuk from head to foot on his body, making dua for him. Then he prepares to perform janaza salah. This was too much for Umar. Umar says, O Nabi of Allah, what are you doing? He says, Akhir anni Umar. O Umar, step back. O Umar, step back. Inni khuyirtu. Allah gave me a choice. Allah said, ask forgiveness or don't ask forgiveness. Wallah, wallah, if my Allah had told me that if you make his janaza namaz more than 70 times, I will forgive him. Wallah, I would have performed his janaza salah more than 70 times. Such a cry, such a concern. Ulama explained that when this compassion and kindness was shown to Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the other munafiqeen had seen the extent to which he had hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On this compassion of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than 1,000 munafiqeen of Madinah Munawwara made tawbah and became true believers. When Sahaba became the living embodiment of the akhlaq and cry and pain of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they moved through the four corners of the world. Their kubur and their graves became a living testimony in the four corners of the globe of the extent of concern for humanity which they had. No long bayans were given. People saw their akhlaq. They saw their character. They saw the love and muhabbat. They saw the compassion. And they said to them, we want to become like you. Sahaba would say, kunu mithlana, become like us. And in flocks, people came towards Islam. This is not an ummah that sat. This is not an ummah that was concerned and worried about its dunya. This is an ummah, wallah, wallah, this ummah came to sacrifice its dunya so that the cry of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be realized. So that humanity, which in billions like ants are going towards Jahannam, can be saved from Jahannam and tread the road towards Jannat. To complete that riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when my ummah will no longer strive for the hidayat of humanity,
That ummah whom Allah Ta'ala said, khayra ummah, you are the best of every ummah. You were taken out for hidayat. You were taken out for the concern for humanity. When this ummah will stop doing this, and will become businessmen, and will become farmers, and will become lawyers, and will become politicians, and will regard that to be its objective, then not the superpowers, not the people of batil, sallatallah, sallatallah, Allah will set a web of, Allah will set a web of disgrace and humiliation upon this ummah, which will never ever be removed until they do not return back to the effort of deen. My respected brothers, we have run out of time. This ijtima, Allah has blessed us. Allah has given us the tawfiq. Allah has given us the ability. In this day and age of fitna and fasad, in this day and age where humanity is crying out, let us not be like the ostriches with the heads in the ground. See the black clouds that are gathering around us. Not for nothing hailstones pour down. Not for nothing that this earth open up and suck up humanity. Not for nothing do the waves of the oceans rise up and suck up humanity. Open our eyes to the reality. The athar and the signs of the ghadab and the anger of Allah are apparent in every direction. This ummah has lost its identity with the day of its Nabi, with the night of its Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the cry and the concern of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has blessed us. We have been given this gathering 48 hours in this environment. The object of this, my respected brothers, ulama explain, they say the object of ishtima is tawbah. The doors of Allah's mercy are open. Allah wants us to come back to Him. Allah is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Hannan. Allah is Mannan. Allah is Dayan. Allah is Ghaffar. Allah is Wahhab. The doors of Allah's mercy are open. Allah has brought us here. Now we have to make decision. Ijtima'i Tawbah. Collectively, we seek the forgiveness of Allah. And the greatest wrong, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Ijtima upon Ijtima is to mention, the greatest jurum and wrong for which we make Tawbah is that we turn our backs on the concern of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My respected brothers, we don't want to be crude. Many of us have come because it is public holiday. Let us attend the Jummah namaz. Thereafter it's Salaamu Alaikum. And until the end of the Ijtima, they are not seen. Some come back for the dua. Some don't even come back for that. Allah has brought us here. Let us say labbaik to this wind of mercy and acceptance that has come from Allah. We are humbly appealing to each and every brother in this gathering. Over the next 48 hours, we will be shown what the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, what his night was, what his concern, what his cry was. We will be shown what is the ghulami and the slavery of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us accept this, every one of us, whatever our preconceived ideas were, whatever our intentions were. From now we make this intention that for the full 48 hours we are going to remain in this ijtima, in this environment. All of us will do this inshallah. All say inshallah and encourage one another, my respected brothers. Really, humanity is thirsty. Insaniyat is suffering. The solution to all their problems, Allah Ta'ala has given us. Put ourselves forward and see how Allah Ta'ala will use us. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.